Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Peter Sprigg, Vice President for Policy at the Family Research Council here in Washington. Most of the news, of course, these days is dominated by the ongoing financial crisis, as well as the home stretch of the presidential campaign. But there's another major development in the cultural wars in this country as well, as Connecticut becomes the third Supreme Court in the nation to legalize same-sex marriage, doing so, as did Massachusetts and California, by a 4-3 decision. And Peter, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
And this is a state that already had legalized civil unions. How long had this particular case been in the pipeline, and how is it different or similar to the other two states that have legalized gay marriage?
Well, it had been in the pipeline for several years, as these cases do take some time to work their way through the courts. But as you indicated, Connecticut had already adopted civil unions back in 2005, I believe. And so, as with California, this was a situation where same-sex couples already had all of the rights and benefits of marriage under state law. They just didn't have the word marriage that they could claim. And yet, Supreme Court still decided that even that was not good enough, that they had to be allowed to call it marriage.
And then in terms of the response, it looks as though that unlike Massachusetts, when Governor Romney and others tried to move forward an amendment to the state constitution, and obviously we're seeing a major ballot initiative in California, it looks like those opposed to this decision aren't likely to put up much of a fight in Connecticut. Is that correct?
I think that they're trying to put up a fight, but unfortunately, a lot is dependent on what the provisions each state has for amending their state constitution. My understanding is that they have a ballot question on the November ballot this year, which would convene a constitutional convention. The goal there is then to change the Constitution in order to allow for an initiative process whereby the people, through collecting signatures, can get an amendment on the ballot. And if they can get an initiative process in place, then they plan to use that to try to put a marriage amendment on the ballot. So obviously that's a lot of hurdles to jump and will likely be a time-consuming process before they can complete it, if they're able to complete it.
Peter, what's the message to voters that three states now, basically by a one-vote majority on the Supreme Court, not through legislation or through a ballot initiative, have changed the law?
Well, certainly, I think it shows the importance of defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman in the Constitution. Now, 26 states have already done that in their state constitutions. Three more have amendments on the ballot this fall. But really, we will not be able to settle this issue until we have an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. But pending that, we need to be concerned about defending the Defense of Marriage Act, if you will. Federal Defense of Marriage Act was passed in 1996 with overwhelming bipartisan support and signed into law by President Clinton, and it provided that states do not have to recognize same-sex marriages from other states. Now that we've gone from one state to three states this year that are recognizing same-sex marriage, this is only going to be a growing issue of couples going to those states to get married and then demanding recognition of those marriages in their home states.
Because that was one of the differences between the initial decision in Massachusetts back in 2003. That was originally just for folks in Massachusetts who couldn't go in and then get married there and go back to whatever state you lived in, although they have since repealed that aspect of the
right.
law.
Right. Massachusetts had a law to prevent people from doing that, which, as you said, they just have repealed this year. But California and Connecticut have no such restrictions, so they will allow same-sex couples from out of state to marry there just as easily as they would opposite-sex couples.
Last 30 seconds, what kind of update can you give us on the ballot initiative to write the traditional definition of marriage in the California Constitution?
Well, the last reports I've seen are more optimistic. The polling data has been kind of all over the map, and this is certainly an issue on which the way the polling question is worded is very key. We do face a disadvantage because the state itself has put a biased ballot description of the amendment on the ballot. But nevertheless, I think the polling data has turned up for us, and I think it's looking good that we may be able to win there in California.
So we'll see what happens there in 3 weeks, as well as many other important races around the country. Peter, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Peter Sprigg is Vice President for Policy at the Family Research Council. Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, our end-of-the-week fun with the Capitol Steps. We'll examine the latest allegations of vote fraud involving Acorn, which of course is linked to the Obama campaign. And when we come back on Dateline Washington, Obama's secret negotiations with Iraqi leaders about our policy going forward. Stay tuned.